A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Dan Devine joins me now, writes about the NBA for Yahoo. Podcast is No Cap Room on Twitter at Your Man Devine. He has a piece up about Isaiah Hartenstein, who has signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder, 3 years, $87 million. Given that and given what has happened in Denver, Oklahoma City, your favorites in the West?
I mean, also the Alex Caruso ad,
and
right?
Like,
I mean, like, they're kind of hammering free agency right now. Yeah, I think we are seeing in real time, and, you know, the Clippers would certainly attest to this, and the Knicks can now attest to it with Isaiah Hartenstein leaving. This is the world of the new collective bargaining agreement. This is the world of the second apron, where it's not just a question of will your owner spend, it's a question of what does that spending buy you and what restrictions does that bring moving forward. And I think you're seeing some teams say, like, listen, we can't like get our draft pick frozen 7 years from now or lose the ability to aggregate salaries and trade or, you know, whatever, insert restriction here to keep Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or to, you know, like, you're only limited to, you know, being able to use your early bird rights on Hartenstein so another team can come over the top. And the Thunder, with their the young talent they've got, the way they're set up in terms of their salary structure, this is their opportunity to spend big and to make those big those big swing deals. And understanding, like, you might have to use some of the cash, a draft pick they've got, to get off money later, or figure out how you can move in an environment where you have already extended Jalen Williams or already extended Chet Holmgren, because those guys haven't come up yet. They will come up, and then the Thunder will deal with the financial crunch, just like these other teams are. But for now, they see an opportunity, and it'd be hard to say that they are not maximizing it. The way that they can throw defensive length and positional size and some playmaking across the board out there, that looks like one hell of a roster. And yeah, right now you'd have to say that looks like the team that was already the number one seed in the West looks like it just got better.
In terms of Denver, I understand why the Warriors and the Clippers might make the decision they made, given that they're not really championship contenders anyway. So why take on these additional, not just financial, but structural burdens going forward? For Denver, which is in literally the championship winning window now, best player in the world, maybe, isn't it a little crazy that they let KCP go?
I mean, I think so. I think that the entire thought process and the construction of that team was, we have the best starting five in the world because these guys fit so perfectly around Jokic. And, like, he obviously can maximize just about anybody, but they also maximize him. Are any concerns you had about perimeter defense and point of attack? All right, well, we've got Aaron Gordon and we got KCP, and that's who we throw out there. How do we best maximize Jokic as an offensive hub working from the top of the key or from the elbows. You got guys who can either spot up and space the floor around him or work with him off the dribble handoff, and KCP became incredible at that. So, yeah, like this is an identity they built. Now they built it under a different financial structure, right? And they're like looking it down the road and saying, well, crap, Aaron Gordon's going to be extension eligible in September, and we got to figure out, I believe he's guaranteed something like 22 or 23 million next year, but then has a player option the year after that. So you got to decide, all right, if we pay KCP now, can we pay Aaron Gordon next year without running afoul of those penalties? And so, yeah, I think different ownership groups are going to make different decisions based on that. They clearly have said, Calvin Booth was indicating this as early as last year, when right after the title, they make some draft pick moves and they bring in three first-round picks, Julian Strother out of Gonzaga, Jalen Pickett, the point guard, and Hunter Tyson, and say, like, that's going to be kind of our bridge, and we're going to develop these guys because we know that we're not going to be able to re-sign everybody. So then they go and they make the same kind of move this year, or they bring in Deron Holmes out of Dayton, saying we need like a stretch five that we can play behind Jokic and that we can develop there, because we're going to be paying a ton of money to our top four guys and we're going to need to find contributors elsewhere. I think it is you can understand from an ownership, if ownership's saying, listen, we're not doing that, then the front office has to decide, has to make moves based on that. But yeah, I think if you are a Nuggets fan, I think you would be looking at that and saying, I don't like this ownership. I think you've made a bad choice, because you only get one Nikola Jokic, and you're not going to get another one of those for 35, 40, 50 years, maybe ever. And when you got him, you got to throw everything at the wall to try to make it work.
So how good are the Sixers with Paul George?
They're a heck of a lot. Hang on. I was about to start getting ahead of myself. I think the other thing is they got to fill out the rest of the roster, and they've started doing that, right? That started before they agreed with George. There was a report about Eric Gordon, which if Daryl Morey is going to do anything, he's going to get a member of the 2017 Rockets on that team. but they bring back Kelly Oubre on a low number, and he was fantastic for them last year. One of the best minimum signings in recent memory. Was sensational for them. You bring back Tyrese Maxey after the cap space is spent on Paul George. You re-up him on the rookie scale max. So, that fit with George there, and of course the cops are coming for me because I'm about to start praising Philly in New York. But that fit of George between Embiid and Maxey, like, it is a guy who can play on or off the ball, who's an elite 3-point shooter off the catch, but who can also make, off the pull. He's a complimentary pick and roll creator, but who doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to succeed. We saw that, in the iterations that he was playing in LA, where when he was on the ball more often, he was putting up elite numbers there. Then they bring in James Harden. He has to completely change his game. The assist numbers go down, but the shooting efficiency remains. I think, the ecosystem there of you've got a number one ball handler, you've got a number one scorer and shot creator, and Paul George sort of fits into the gaps in the middle. He becomes essentially like you pay him a max salary to be the best role player in the NBA. And whether he can be that consistently at 34 years old, whether he's going to be able to remain healthy, obviously the major question always every year is whether Embiid's going to be able to remain healthy and how they fit the rest of the pieces around them. But I think it is an absolutely perfect on-court fit there, especially with what George, he's not, an all-defensive wing at the same level that he used to be, but he's still a heck of a wing defender that can scale up or scale down in terms of the way he guards. And it's really like the gamble that Daryl Morey made when he made the Harden deal. It's so funny to think about how far away it feels, but how close we are in the calendar to Daryl Morey is a liar and James Harden going to China and telling Chinese children he'll never play for Daryl Morey again. So then Daryl Morey trades Harden to the Clippers, gets two unprotected picks, or gets an unprotected pick and a top three protected pick swap back for it, and then gets Paul George out of the Clippers. So I don't know if Daryl Morey had this planned, when James Harden took the airwaves with that, but it's a heck of a dismount, and it puts Philly in really, really good position to remain in that that situation atop the East.
Get to the Grizzlies in one sec. Again, talking to Dan Devine, the podcast is No Cap Room. He writes about the NBA for Yahoo. Paul George going east, that's good. KCP going east, that's good. DeJounte Murray coming west, not necessarily good from the Grizzlies' perspective. They've needed a point guard. They have one. What'd you think? They don't have a center, but they do have a point guard.
Yeah, and also, I mean, shouts out to Grizzlies legend Jonas Valanciunas getting 3 years and 30 in Washington. He'll be the booster rockets there for Alex Saar, the bodyguard and the protector there as they figure out what they want to do moving forward. I feel like there's more shoes to drop in New Orleans. I don't dislike the talent play of going and, you know, being able to turn Larry Nance Jr. and Dyson Daniels and some pick equity into DeJounte Murray. I think the getting another sort of shot creating guard who can score and who, you know, he hasn't been as good defensively as his reputation was from his time in San Antonio the last couple of years, but maybe, you know, at least conceptually a better point of attack player than CJ McCollum, you know, and, you know, some of the other guards that they put out there. But when you think about where those guys get their shots, like, there's a pretty significant overlap in the offensive profile of DeJounte Murray and Brandon Ingram. And so I wonder, like, it feels like there's more coming because I don't know. Yeah, you're absolutely right to point to there's no center. And I don't think they want to play Zion Williamson at center a lot. I think that's like you want to have that option on the menu, but you don't want to build the whole meal out of it. And you know, they're just, it feels like there needs to be a shakeup in terms of, like, CJ McCollum remade his game to be more of a catch and shoot off ball player last year. Brandon Ingram has not done that and seems like kind of doesn't seem like he really wants to, and hard to blame him. He's been like an all-star player and has, you know, been the number one scoring threat on a playoff team playing that way, but I don't know that it fits neatly with Murray and Zion and CJ. It just feels like more is coming there. So the New Orleans right now feels to me like an incomplete, but if they get a healthy Zion back, that's all, you know, that is the ceiling raiser for them. They were a team that I think for most of last season looked to me like they could be a home court advantage team. Disastrous late season slide, Zion gets hurt in the play-in, and then you go from there. But that's the difference maker, and I think Murray might look really nice next to him.
I guess I assume that Brandon Ingram, they're shopping him, it seems all. But the problem is, it's not, who wants to pay him? Like, no one seems to want to pay him. Maybe they want him at some whatever, but nobody wants him and wants to pay him. Is there anyone who has emerged as a likely candidate?
I know there was some reporting this weekend out of California that the Kings were kicking the tires there. But yeah, I think even that, you know, you hear that, you maybe scrunch your face up a little bit, and you're like, I guess. Like, and that's the thing. Like, if you were, like, Brandon Ingram is in that sort of, like, it's like the twilight zone for an NBA player where you're like, you're like a fringe all-star. I've seen you be an all-star. I've seen you play well against good teams. I've seen you play well in, like, first-round playoff games. But if you're my best guy, how far am I going? If you're my second best guy, how far am I going? And I think that's if the answers to those questions are like, I don't really know, then, yeah, it's tough to commit $250 million to a guy like that, right? So I think even as the cap goes up and yada, 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 I think that's front offices, ownership groups, fan bases all look at that and are like, I don't really know. And so then you wind up, I think, honestly, DeJounte Murray is in a similar category. Trae Young is your former backcourt partner in Atlanta. I think there's a lot of people that look at him and are like, yeah, I guess, but I don't know. I don't know for sure. And so those players in a system where, like, you know, your stars, your superstars, your all-stars get that top dollar, it becomes really interesting to see how the rest of the league values them, where the markets for them lie, and then, you know, what kind of moves you can make downstream from that. So, yeah, Ingram, I think everybody under the sun expects them to at least see what they can get for him and see where, you know, if there's a better fit for him out there. It's not always easy to find it.
All right, on to the Grizzlies. One of your colleagues, I believe, called the draft pick the worst in the history of draft picks ever, or something like that. You were nice enough to stick up for it. What did you think of the Grizzlies taking Zach Edey?
Well, first thing, I will stand up for my colleague, Kristen Peek. What happens in these situations, if we're looking at how the sausage gets made, is she's on a live stream for like 5 hours, and then during a break, someone hands her a phone and says, stare into this camera and speak for 30 seconds about the Zach Edey pick. And then she sort of has to go like off the cuff.
She got more animated as she went on, too. Like, it really, that pick got worse and worse. No, I totally get it. It's content and whatever else. And I'm sure she didn't actually like a lot. Listen, she wasn't the only one who thought that he was overdrafted at 9. Yeah. Go ahead, your thoughts.
But she is among the most skeptical people that Edey's you know, lateral quickness, his athleticism defensively is going to play up at the NBA level. I think she is a very significant skeptic of he's going to be able to be on the floor defensively against good teams. And I think that that is a take that she is not alone in. She is perhaps more strident in it than many others. But I think it's an understandable concern when you're looking at a 7'4", 300-pound guy. To me, I'm just a real optimistic sort. And my glass half full look at it is, what have we seen offensively that has worked for the Grizzlies in the last few years? Like, if the half-court offense isn't working great, you better get more bites at the apple. You better have some easy buttons to be able to get there on the offensive glass. You better have somebody to be able to set the screens to get Ja or Desmond Bane or whomever else open. And you better have somebody who can basically be a tree planted in the lane that allows Jaren Jackson Jr. to fly all over the place. And I think that Zach Edey makes a ton of sense there. I'm a little more optimistic about the idea of, like, a guy who played basically all 40 minutes of every Purdue game that mattered being able to, you know, rev up and, you know, have the conditioning to be able to make himself a nuisance on the defensive end. But it's, you know, we're going to see. I mean, generally speaking, you don't have, like, guys who can do everything all the time perfectly. The question is the trade-off. And I think that the idea of he is an option that is going to finish at a high percentage at the rim, he's going to give Ja a massive target in the paint under the basket, and he's going to maybe revitalize some of that offensive rebounding second-chance opportunity game that was lost when Steven Adams went down, which was such a gigantic impediment to the offensive flow for the Grizzlies a couple of years ago. I think that's the hope there, and I think there's reason to be optimistic about it. But if he's out there drawn into deep water on the pick and roll, expect a whole lot of I told you so from one Kristen Peek.
You can listen to him at No Cap Room, read him at Yahoo. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
A Kings Island Gold Pass is your ticket to unlimited visits this year and all through 2025. Make the park your own with access to 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween Haunt, and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. All for our lowest price of the season. Just 10 payments of $9 after initial payment plus applicable taxes and fees. Hurry, price goes up September 3rd. Get your Gold Pass at visitkingsisland.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.